So many of us honestly grow up without ever having received a good apology from other adults in our lives, or seen one modeled for us, or taught how to give one as children. Usually children are actually like forced to give apologies before they've had time to really even figure out like what they're apologizing for. They're just sort of forced to do it, and then they're able to move on with their day. So it's something that like is sort of a box they have to check rather than something that's like real or genuine. Welcome to Making Polyamory Work. Hi, I'm Libby Sinbeck, and I want to thank you for joining me today. I'm a queer polyamorous mom and a relationship transformation coach, and I am committed to helping people who live and love outside the status quo have extraordinary relationships, because relationships are at the core of our well-being as humans. I think love is why we're here and how we heal. One of the great tragedies, I think, of modern United States culture and maybe modern Western culture is that accountability and a good apology isn't really something that I see widely modeled in popular culture. Punishment, sure, that's pretty widely out there. Self-flagellation, I see a ton of that, like people beating up on themselves and making themselves, you know, super low and like I'm the worst. Equivocating and half apologizing, I definitely see that, you know, the whole I'm sorry, but, or yeah, I did it, but like here's why, and here's why you should just forgive me. And then there's, you know, the flat out non-apologies, like the denying, the deflecting, the defending, or even more fun, you know, the turning it back on the other person and making it their fault. So many of us honestly grow up without ever having received a good apology from other adults in our lives, or seen one modeled for us, or taught how to give one as children. Usually children are actually like forced to give apologies before they've had time to really even figure out like what they're apologizing for. They're just sort of forced to do it. And then they're able to move on with their day. So it's something that like is sort of a box they have to check rather than something that's like real or genuine. So then we reach adulthood and we're in these adult relationships and we don't know how to really make a good apology. Now, maybe you have been listening to my podcast for a minute and you know that I think repair is a really important part of relationship. In fact, maybe one of the most important parts of relationship, especially if you're polyamorous, because perfect harmony isn't really possible in relationships. Making mistakes and hurting each other is sort of inevitable. And so good repair is crucial for building security in a relationship. And yet you may be like, that's great, Libby. I'm bought into that. How do I do that? And I hear it all the time from my clients that they try to make things better, but then the repair doesn't really feel like it happens. And so they really need to actually learn how to do it. Now, there are a lot of things that go into a good repair. You need to have good and loving boundaries, self-compassion for yourself. You have to practice taking turns, active listening, acknowledging what the other person is saying, making a commitment to behavior change if needed. And sometimes, though not always, an apology is part of that repair. And the apology needs to be a really good one. Now, again, if you don't know how to do that, you might be inclined to go to Google and see if you can find like how to give a good apology. And there are actually a lot of good resources, a lot of good articles if you Google how to make a good apology. And most of them have like a 4 or a 5 or a 6 step process. Usually something along the lines of say what you're sorry for, take full responsibility, empathize for the impact it had, express regret, and then commit to change if needed. However, a lot of these are missing what I see as the most important step. Mia Mingus, who writes a lot about accountability and disability justice, does a really nice 4 steps to accountability and how I see as 4 steps to a really good apology. And the first step that she has that I don't see often said, but I think is super important, is self-reflection. I think apologies without self-reflection are just absolute garbage. Now, that doesn't mean you can't say a quick I'm sorry when you fuck up in a way that you're well acquainted with. Then you theoretically have already done that self-reflection. You've already dug deep inside and you understand and the other person understands. And so the apology is just sort of an acknowledgement of, oh yeah, I'm still working on that and I see that and we know and I know and here's my apology. But if you've really messed up with someone in a brand new way and you're trying to really make it better, but you have not first taken the time to understand what the heck was going on for you and what might have contributed to this thing happening and what might have been going on for the other person, you probably are going too fast and you're probably more in a fixing mode or a placating mode or a self-flagellating mode or a manipulating mode. Or you might just be going into defensive or denying or deflecting or all that stuff that just really isn't helpful. And that's probably because you want the other person to just stop being upset and just get back into harmony and connection, or you just want to say what you have to get them off your back, sort of like the way a kid learns how to apologize. Like, I just say what I have to, and then I don't have to deal with this anymore. And none of that is a real apology or real accountability. So self-reflection is essential before you can make a good repair and give a good apology. And here's why a lot of people don't do it. You can't self-reflect if you're still upset and in a place of sort of activation or being triggered or being flooded. You just can't do it. It's a part of your brain that operates in the neocortex or the prefrontal cortex part of your brain. And that part, when you're super upset and activated and triggered, it just doesn't work super well. It's not connected. And the reality is, if you're in disharmony, that can be upsetting. If there's a rupture and someone you love is upset, maybe you don't actually feel responsible. Maybe you feel like this actually isn't your fault and you're feeling defensive. Or maybe there's an intent versus impact problem and you're feeling just unfairly blamed or just not seen and in pain around that. Or maybe you're frustrated that the person is being too sensitive, or you just wish they'd give you some grace, you know, or this is a super sensitive thing that you've fucked up before and you're just sort of tired of being hammered on it. Who knows? Whatever might be going on, if you're activated, you can't self-reflect. And, you know, what you might really want to do is just get to the repair so you can feel better. But if you are trying to repair from that place, it's poop. It doesn't work. It's just not a good apology. And the thing is, the other person can tell. They can tell that you just want them to stop being upset, or that you just want to get back into connection, or you just want them to feel better, or you want the other person to not be blaming you anymore, or whatever it might be. And that tends to actually not de-escalate and make things better. It actually tends to have things spiral and feel worse until one of you just gives up. The other problem with self-reflection is that because you need to get into a different brain state in order to do it, it takes time. You really have to access self-reflection from a calm, grounded, what Dan Siegel calls an integrated brain state. You have to be able to connect to the parts of you that are having all the big feelings, to the part of you that is capable of witnessing that, reflecting that, thinking back on your own experience and your own thoughts to really observe what you were feeling, and also to observe and reflect on what the other person was feeling and maybe their context and your context, and, you know, see the bigger picture also of what's really important. And it also helps to reflect on, like, your past, the other person's past, your triggers and sensitivities, their triggers and sensitivities, and maybe other things that might have led you and this other person to this moment that you're in. You need to be able to look at your flaws, but without shame or self-contempt or defensiveness, but rather with that compassion and just understanding and warm regard for yourself. This whole process is what might otherwise be known as owning your shit, but owning your shit without beating yourself up. But as I said, that takes time, and usually longer than like 20 minutes. 20 minutes is what you need to get calm from a flooded state. But 20 minutes is what you need to get calm, not what it's going to take to self-reflect. You might need hours. You might even need a day or two. You might even need a few weeks, depending on how big the rupture is. And that can be really uncomfortable, because all that time that you're self-reflecting, repair isn't happening. And one thing that can happen, that I've seen happen a lot, especially if there's been a community level rupture, like if somebody is really fucked up and there's been a lot of people who've observed it, and there are a lot of people who are upset and kind of really calling for an apology, a repair. But that can even happen with a partner or another loved one who is calling for a repair. They're in disharmony. They're upset, and they're upset with you, and they want you to make it better. And they want you to make it better now, because they don't want to feel in disrepair with you, and they want you to own your shit, and they want to believe that you're going to make it better with them. And, you know, if you aren't able to deliver on that soon enough, they are going to continue to get upset and might, you know, make some decisions based on a response that you give them or don't give them. And that puts a lot of pressure on the situation, which also makes it hard to have that self-reflection part. And this part really sucks. I mean, I've been in the situation where I've fucked up with people in my community. This happened one time, I remember, like in an online space. And I had fucked up with someone in my community. And like in my mind, I was at first very defensive, and I had felt very unfairly treated. And I did actually from that place try to apologize. And it was, as I said, it was a shit apology. Like, it was okay. You know, it checked all the boxes. But you know what? It didn't actually land with the people who I was apologizing to. And that doesn't surprise me, because it was a shit apology. But at the same time, these people were really upset and just continuing to say negative things about me that were hurtful. And I really just wanted to stop. And I wanted to make it better. And so I felt this pressure to apologize quickly, when really what I needed was actually like a week or two to reflect. But oftentimes when someone is upset with us, especially if it's a big thing, like a community level thing, but even if, again, if it's an intimate partner thing or a friend or family thing, that isn't available. Or people believe that if they let it lie, if they don't get a quick and swift response, then it's not going to be any good. And they need to, you know, set some boundaries or make some changes or what have you. And I just think this is so wrong. I really think it's so wrong. And I think what we need instead, when someone messes up with us, is for them to have time, and for us to give them time, and for us, when we have messed up, to give ourselves time and to ask for time to reflect, especially when it's kind of like a car crash level fuck up. I mean, a minor fuck up, you might need like an hour to calm down and sit with it and then respond. Like, that might be all you need. But if it's like a really major big deal fuck up, and someone's really, really upset with you, and you don't even know how this happened, and you don't know you don't even understand what's going on, and you feel like there's a lot of upset, you might really need like a day or two or a week, or, you know, even longer. Like, I'll just be honest with this fuck up that I'm thinking of that I had, and this was several years ago, at a community level. I didn't really understand or was able to contextualize what really happened and what I really needed to apologize for and why, for I would say probably months. It probably took me a few months to really understand it. And honestly, what I needed to apologize for wasn't what people were asking for me to apologize for. And, you know, again, that goes into that whole intent versus impact thing. Like, one of the things that was happening was people were attributing intent to me that didn't feel true to me. And so I was being asked to apologize for something that I didn't do and that didn't feel fair for me to apologize for. And then again, that kind of escalates things, right? Because then I'm sort of like, well, but I'm not going to apologize for that because I didn't do that and that's not true to me. But then I'm being defensive and then they're getting, you know, this is how this can get out of hand. So what I really wish for people, for everybody, from intimate partnerships to friendships to families to communities to even broader society, is when there's been some kind of fuck up and someone has really caused harm, is for there to be breathing room for self-reflection. Like for that to be baked in and as part of the process, because that is what will create the opportunity for a good repair. So how do we create an opportunity for self-reflection? What I believe needs to happen if you are the person who is messed up is, you know, first you have to get untriggered. And again, that usually only takes about 20 minutes. Sometimes it might take a little bit more depending on how big the flooding is for you and how much might still be coming at you. But, you know, getting grounded, you know, taming your whoosh is probably the most important step, no matter what, for any repair ever. But then if you don't immediately know what to say because you haven't had time to self-reflect and you know that you need it because I've told you you need it, is to say to the person or people that you've messed up with, you say, hey, I really want to make this right. I need some time to reflect because I don't really know what I need to say or what feels right to me. And I really want to take in what you have to say, what you've told me, and I need some time. And then state a period of time that you think you need. With my partners and I, we've said things like, hey, I need a couple days, or hey, I don't have time to self-reflect on this right now, so I might need a week to just give this some breathing room. But then I will come back and I will talk about this with you and I want to make this better. I just need some time. And for those of you who find yourself on the, you know, harmed side of the equation where you need repair, if someone says that to you, I really want you to give it to them. And if they don't say that to you and they just kind of go dark and they don't give you any indication that they are planning on repairing with you or that they're doing some self-reflection, you know, that might be where you need to poke at them and you know, give them some kind of indication that, hey, no, it's not okay to just like pretend this didn't happen. But it is okay, I think, to give it some breathing room. And if they don't come back around, yeah, then maybe put some pressure on and poke at them again. But like, I think the fear of giving self-reflection time would be that then it's just going to get swept under the rug, that it's just going to get ignored. And so it's on both people or all of the people in the situation to acknowledge, hey, this is the container we're creating for self-reflection, and this is the amount of time that you have. And again, for self-reflection, the key things you want to think about are, what led me to this moment, both in the short term and over the course of my whole life? What kinds of things might be underlying it for me? What sensitivities might I have? What triggers? What blind spots? You know, what might have been going on for the other person? Try to understand and reflect on their context, what they might have been feeling in that moment. And again, think about your intentions. Think about how your intentions might have been perceived. Think about your impact. And here's a great one. Process it with a third party, you know, a friend, a family member, someone who is maybe outside of the issue, but who, you know, so they can have sort of a neutral but supportive perspective for you, or at least just to be a sounding board. Now, if you have a practice already of self-reflection, I mean, I know that I do, like self-reflection actually comes very natural to me. I'm actually like a pretty self-conscious person. This might, when I say it, just come easily to you to build that into your practice of repair, to make sure that you have a period of time for self-reflection and that, again, that's communicated. But for those of you who self-reflection isn't something that you have a practice around, I recommend going to my episode about checking out versus checking in. And because there in that episode, there are some tools, specifically the RAIN tool for practicing mindfulness and self-awareness that I think will help you build a self-reflection practice overall, but give you some tools for being in self-reflection before you need to make a repair. I honestly think that creating a practice of self-reflection as a part of repair would be like, I think, just transformative for relationships, for our culture, for society. And I think with those kind of changes that we want to see, it starts with us. It starts with our relational practices. I know for me that when my partners have made a repair from a place of self-reflection, it usually blows me away. And I know that my capacity to make a good repair with my partners and friends and loved ones is very much supported by my own practice of self-reflection. I think self-reflection is essential for accountability. At the end of the day, nobody else can hold you accountable if you do not first look inside and be accountable to yourself, and self-reflection is such a key part of that. So to recap, I want to acknowledge we don't have a great culture of accountability and repair and apology, and so we're all in a learning phase in how to do that, like so many of us at least are, and that's okay. One piece that I find really missing from a lot of guidance around how to make a repair or how to apologize is having a practice of self-reflection first. And that's because it takes time and it leaves everything in sort of a liminal space for a period of time while that self-reflection is happening. And I think it's so essential. And I think apologies and repair without it are just really incomplete and honestly, most of the time, just crap. So self-reflect. Develop a self-reflection practice. And remember that in order to self-reflect, you have to get yourself into a grounded and integrated place in order to be able to witness and reflect and really see all the angles and the bigger picture. Your higher order brain functions are where that is possible. And so you cannot do that if you're in your whoosh. So get out of your whoosh first, get into your integrated brain state, self-reflect, and then from there, I think your repair, your apology, all of that is going to be so much more powerful, so much more authentic, and really a beautiful opportunity for growth and intimacy in your relationships. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you have any thoughts about what I've said or a question for the show, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me via my website, libbysinbeck.com, or you can connect to me on any of my social channels. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. I'll also say that if you're loving my podcast, but feel like your relationship could maybe use some more help, this is work I do with my coaching clients and in the relational non-monogamy circle. If you're interested, you can either set up a free introductory session with me to see if coaching might be a fit for you, or check out the Relational Non-Monogamy Circle online at libbysinbeck.com/RNMC. If you love this podcast, please share it. Share it with your friends, your networks, your Facebook groups, etc. And make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes or Stitcher, it would be super awesome if you left a review or a comment because that will help more people find the show. Making Polyamory Work is created by me, Libby Sinbeck. It is edited by Finn of the Normalizing Non-Monogamy podcast and hosted on the Anchor.fm platform. Van de Leon manages the website and posts the transcripts. Thanks for being with me today, and I'll see you soon.